Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. There used to be a repertory cinema in every town, every neighborhood, near every university. Reps are the kind of theaters that play a mix of second-run, classic, cult movies, art flicks, perennial favorites, things like that. And they would charge a bit less than the mainstream movie houses. Usually one-screen theaters, but with a constantly changing program. Often two new movies each night. But something is happening. Repertory cinemas are disappearing across North America. Why? What's going on? Well, a new movie called The Rep, which opens today in Toronto, takes a look at these theaters, focusing on one of them, Toronto's underground cinema in Spadina. It's a beautiful homage to a disappearing phenomenon, and I'm very pleased to have here in studio the film's director, Morgan White, to tell us more about it. Hi, Morgan.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So what is the importance of the repertory cinema?
The repertory cinema is, it's like a palace of movies, and that's the best way to look at it. They are valorizing cinema in a way that no one else does. And it's really, you know, it's the aspect of going to watch a movie, and generally an older film that you've seen 100 times, maybe, with a group of people on the big screen. And that's really what the cool thing is about them. And I think that's kind of the importance. It's the fact that you get to watch an older movie on the big screen with a group of people and really, you know, take that movie in. And in many cases, in a different way than you've ever seen it before.
So if a repertory cinema is a movie palace, who's the king and the queen?
I guess the managers would be the king and the queen.
Okay. And what do they bring? What do they bring to it?
Well, they bring a very personal look at everything because, I mean, the programmers at a repertory cinema are programming for themselves and for the public. But I think to some extent it's an egotistical trip they program for themselves and they hope that people will come out and watch the movies that they're playing. I know in the case of a lot of the theaters here in Toronto, they play, you know, cult movies and 80s fare and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's just because a lot of the people that are running the cinemas, that's the stuff they grew up on. So they like to play that. It's
so
really cool.
So the programmers put in what they like to pay, but does that match what the viewers want to see?
I think to some extent it does and it doesn't. It really all depends. Ultimately, any cinema lives and dies by its programming and what people will go to and what they're playing, because ultimately that's why you go to a movie theater, is to watch the movie. I think that a good programmer is someone that can listen to what people want and what their reactions are to what's playing and gauge an appropriate calendar based on that. But I think that ultimately it still kind of winds up being what the programmer wants to play.
Well, what's the difference between a second run and a rep?
Well, second run is primarily films that have just left the multiplexes and are about to come out on home video. Probably something that you didn't want to pay $13 or $14 to see at a multiplex, but are okay with paying $8 to see. And actually, that's kind of like the bread and butter of most repertory cinemas now. Rep specifically means older films. So classics, cult films, genre films, anything that's, you know, older, that's coming back, anything that's really loved that's coming back. And also art house fare really falls under the rep model too.
So in the rep, in your movie, it looks like there's something going wrong. There's something dying around that world. What's going on?
Well, I think ultimately the death of the repertory cinema has actually been going on for a long time. It's been fighting a battle, and that is because of home video. Home video came out in the 80s. It was a huge boom. Everyone went crazy, even though, you know, a player's cost $1,000, and you know, to buy a VHS tape back in the day was like $100, which is crazy. But people ate it up. They loved the fact that they could watch something at home. In the 70s, before that boom happened, a repertory cinema existed so that you could play films that people loved and wanted to see again. And they could throw up anything, and you know, 100, 200, 300, sometimes a full house would show up without any thought. It would just, that's what happened. But then home video hit and people could access it at home. And now it's gotten even more that case because, you know, collectors keep buying movies, and everyone has a DVD collection to some extent, whether you want to admit that or not. And I think that that's really had a big effect. And also now with Netflix, you know, you pay $8 and you get thousands of movies right at the touch of a button. So the necessity to go out and see it at the movie theater is not as big as it used to be. And I also think that people have become more insular. There's a lot less desire for people to go out and sit in a collective group and watch a movie like there used to be. And I think that because of that and the way that it's transitioning, kids especially, like a 15-year-old didn't grow up going to the movie theater the same way that, you know, a 20 or 30 or 40-year-old grew up going to the movie theater. So they don't understand the importance of it. They're much more content watching things on YouTube or watching things on Netflix or on DVD. So they don't understand the cinematic experience, which is what the Repertory House lives on. They are all about the cinematic experience.
So it's up to them to somehow lure people in. What are some of the things they've been trying?
I think the biggest thing that most people do are events. They try to create something bigger out of a movie screening, because now a movie doesn't matter the same way that it used to, or at least you can't just put up a movie and expect a bunch of people to come. But for example, at the Underground, when they played Batman 66, they had Adam West come out.
Batman himself.
Yeah, Batman.
The TV
came.
Batman.
Exactly. So, well, I think he is Batman. he's not just TV Batman. He is known around the world as just Batman.
Well, one of the Batmen.
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
Christian Bale is definitely a Batman, and Michael Keaton, and...
Definitely.
There's a few of them kicking around out there.
But it's that kind of thing. Like, you need to have that added bonus to a movie, which is interesting because if you think about it, you know, back in the day that existed too. In the 50s, 3D was a big deal, like stereographic 3D. And William Castle did crazy stuff with his movies, like the Tingler.
Didn't he have the buzzers under
the
seat?
Yeah, exactly. That was the Tingler. So that idea has been going on for a long time. And I think that repertory houses thrive on showmanship. And that's the one thing that they all need to really, you know, think about when they're putting up a movie, is that there has to be some sort of added bonus.
You talk to not just the Underground Cinema, but you talk to people at rep cinemas across North America. One of them said they put huge Nazi banners in the front of the theater for Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
What are some other things like that?
Oh, well, there's been that, like the Draft House. That's the theater that that did that.
Where's that?
The Alamo Draft House is in Austin, Texas, and it started there, and now it's actually all over the U.S. They're opening up a theater in New York. They're going to have
so
one in
expanding.
L.A. They're expanding. They actually started from a single screen theater, and they have, I don't know, 50, 60 screens now, and they keep expanding all over the country. It's really amazing. But they do crazy things. Like, they'll, some of the cool things that I've read, they did a screening of Mad Max at a derby, like a car derby, and had a bunch of cars crashing.
Like a NASCAR race?
No, like an actual, like, cars crashing.
Car derby.
Yeah.
Smash up derby.
Exactly. So they do things like that, and they add this, like, aspect to the film that heightens it for everyone. So
I would
you get
go to that.
Oh, yeah, that'd be amazing. I would have loved to have gone.
I'd go to anything, but... I'd go to that especially.
You know, definitely. It's really, and, you know, the Alamo is really known for that. And that's the kind of thing that they do. But I think all of the cinemas that are really thriving have some sort of, you know, added bonus to what they do, whether it be, you know, a sing-along or a quote-along. Sometimes people come in and you know, trash a movie like Mystery Science Theater used to do. There's lots of different things that you can do that are actually quite simple and really add to the screening.
So what about 35mm film specifically? What does that add to rep cinemas? What might happen?
Well, see, that's really tough to completely explain to someone, because ultimately 35mm or the want and desire to watch a film on 35mm is a very personal thing, and it's very hard to explain to somebody that doesn't get that. But to me, watching a film on 35, it's the way that it was projected in the past.
It looks different. To me, it looks totally different.
Oh, it does.
The feel is different. The depth, the softness, the jerkiness.
No, definitely. There's
the edges.
There's a very, very visible aesthetic that 35 has that digital doesn't have. And digital or 35 millimeter transfers to digital don't have either. film feels like it's being presented. I mean, that's one thing. There's a projectionist who built that print up, because films come in sections. So they come in 20-minute reels. So if you think that you're seeing a two-hour movie, that's 6 to 7 reels needing to be built up. So that there's a projectionist that shows up like an hour before, sometimes two, you know, goes through the whole film, puts it together, puts it up. It's like building the movie for you to experience. And there's that aspect of sitting in the theater and knowing that there's somebody behind you presenting you the film.
Sounds something like this.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, there's the whirl of the projector that you can always hear in the background. And that's really, really cool. And it adds something to the screening. Now, studios are getting rid of 35. It's a cost-cutting measure for them, because ultimately it costs them $1 billion a year to distribute 35 millimeter across the world.
$1 billion.
$1 billion. That is the savings that they are now getting from not producing and distributing 35 millimeter prints.
But the rep cinemas exist on the fact that these reels are sitting there and ready to be sent out again, right?
That's very true. All of the studios have archives just full of prints, and many collectors now also have archives full of prints. But the studios have decided that, you know, now they're not going to allow anyone to access those prints. And the demand is that everyone switch to digital.
What will happen to a rep cinema if it's digital?
Well, I mean, there are still things that are available digitally. You can get a DCP. That's what a digital...
That's the player?
It's the format of what they're projecting. It's called a digital cinema package. That's what DCP stands for. And it comes on a hard drive. But you can get a lot of films. You can't get all of the films. And that's really what's sad for a repertory cinema. Because a repertory cinema isn't about playing the obvious. It's about playing the obscure sometimes. And the obscure will ultimately never get transferred to a DCP. And DCP is, at the moment, the best digital version to screen. A lot of studios just tell theaters now to play a Blu-ray, which is, in fact, not an appropriate format to screen on.
No.
But a lot of cinemas do screen on Blu-ray.
So getting back to projectors, sorry. I have a funny story. I once went to, used to be called Golden Harvest before it was the Underground.
Yep.
And I went there once for a Hong Kong zombie movie. And somewhere in the middle, I noticed something didn't seem right. And it took about 10 minutes. No one got up or anything, but I figured out whoever was doing the projection had switched reel 2 with reel 3. So it skipped forward halfway through the movie and all the zombies are the people hadn't turned into zombies are running around. So is this sort of ramshackle pulled togetherness of rep cinemas part of its charm or a drawback?
I think it's twofold. It's part of its charm for the people that think that that is charming. And it is a drawback for the people that think that that's a drawback. It ultimately, that's a very personal thing, right? I've been to screenings where I've seen a horror flick where half of the reels have been mismatched, and I love it. And I would never watch that film any other way. But I know that people hate that.
So what would you say, finally, what can people do to keep rep cinemas running?
Go to them. Ultimately, that's what it is. It's all about patronage. A movie theater exists for the people to go to, and if the public doesn't go to a cinema, it won't survive.
Well, I hope people go to your movie.
I hope so too.
Thanks for speaking with me, Morgan.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Morgan White, whose new film The Rep is playing now. Where?
It's playing at the Big Picture Cinema all week long, starting today, Friday, until next Friday.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
This is Daniel Garber, the Movies for CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.